I feel so often we are intimidated that the elite of the world have some kind of wisdom that we don't have. But you and I have wisdom that is from above, because we know God, we fear God, we obey God.
When your work seems to pile up, when you have a big assignment due at school, or your schedule at work is filled with commitments you can't get out of, you probably wish there were a few more hours in each day. But since you can't add more time to the day, the question is, how do you make the most of the time that you do have? John MacArthur is answering that question today on Grace to You, as he continues a practical series titled Wisdom in Action. You'll want to invest the next 30 minutes of your day to find out how you can best dedicate your time to the glory of God and the good of others. With today's lesson, here's John MacArthur.
It's brought home to me more and more all the time that many people never finish what they begin. There are unfinished symphonies. There are unfinished paintings. There are sculptures that have never had the finishing touch because in each case the master died. There are relationships that never become all that they could be. There are ministries that never really come to fruition. There are dreams that always remain dreams, hopes that always remain hopes, never become realities. And I guess for a lot of people, life can be an unfinished symphony. It can be a dream without a reality. It can be an ideal without a truth. But I don't think it has to be that way. I think there's one great reality that we need to focus on in the text that we want you to look at. Look at the 15th verse of Ephesians 5, and I'll read through verse 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we'll stop there. Now, you'll notice that there's a major statement made in three simple words in the middle of this text. It is redeeming the time. If we are ever to turn our dreams into reality, if we ever to turn our hopes into fact, if we ever to finish our symphonies and paint our paintings and sculpt our sculpture, it's going to be when we have redeemed time. I believe God has bounded our lives with eternity, and I believe God has prescribed before we were ever born the time that we were to live. And only as we maximize that time can we maintain its potential for fulfillment. You'll notice that it says in verse 16, redeeming the time. It is interesting to me how many times the Holy Spirit, when He talks about this concept of time, uses a definite article. The time, as if it is not some indefinite a time or some time or any time or times, but the time. God has almost prescribed times in very accurate and sovereignly determined doses. So God has given us definite time. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, there is a very important statement. If you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, listen to the next line, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. The time of your sojourning. In other words, Peter is saying you have a definite set time bounded by God's sovereign choice. Now remember what we're talking about in Ephesians 5, will you? We're talking about the worthy walk, aren't we? How do you walk? Walk means lifestyle, manner of living. First of all, we learned in chapter 4, we walk in humility. Secondly, we learned we walk in unity. Thirdly, we learned we walk uniquely, different than the rest of the world. Fourthly, we learned we walk in love, chapter 5. Then we learned to walk in light, chapter 5. And now we're learning to walk in what? Wisdom. And what does it mean to walk in wisdom but to redeem time? Because that is the greatest squandering of potential. For Christ's sake, he says. For the sake of who you are, use your time wisely. Now let's back up and see how we're supposed to look at these three verses. A wise walking Christian knows three realities, all right? First, he has a sense of his life principles. Secondly, his limited privileges. And third, his Lord's purposes. Very simple, but very profound. First, a wise walking person knows his life principles. Walking in wisdom means you conform to certain standards of living. Now remember this. Wisdom is used here in the sense of the Jewish concept, not the Greek. To the Greeks, wisdom was something you spun off of your brain. Wisdom was an intellectual exercise. Wisdom was nothing more than unrelated sophistry. But to a Hebrew, wisdom was a living principle. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about thinking, we're talking about living. As I was reading about Kepha Sempangi and his church, I just couldn't help but think of what they went through. You know, he started out as the church began to grow, and it was a nice group of people, and they filled this area where they would meet every Sunday, and he would preach, and they would have a wonderful time. And then all of a sudden, when Amin came to power, and they thought everything was going to be great, you know, the church, it seemed to me, didn't grow very much. And then all of a sudden, something strange began to happen. People began to disappear, and people began to die, and Kepha went one day to call upon a family that was a very dear friends, and he walked to the front door, and standing inside the front door was a little boy, 12 years of age, with his hand sticking straight up in the air, frozen, transfixed in a state like that of traumatic shock in which he had already been for 2 days without moving. He went further into the living room and found the eyeballs and the tongues of every member of the family lying on the floor. He went from room to room and found that every one of them was dismembered and killed. And the little boy had seen it all. And all of a sudden, there was a new sense of urgency. All of a sudden, there was a sense that these are the evil days, and how much time do we have? And the people began to meet for prayer, and then they met not just at prayer meeting, but they met and prayed all night long. And so many people came for the all-night prayer meetings, they couldn't get them into the place they met. And they would be sitting and lying on the ground outside all night long praying. And they would go from there to evangelize, to win people to Christ, because they didn't know how long it would be. And it was a few short years, and the church was gone. The urgency, people. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the evil day brings. Maybe the most evil day of all is the day in which everything is so easy that we lose our priorities. Maybe that's the most evil of all. The church would thrive better under Idi Amin than it does under affluence in many cases. It's been true all through history, you know. The blood of the martyrs becomes the seed of the church. I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying that we sometimes don't understand urgency. We don't see the evil day because we are sucked into the system and the line is not clearly drawn. And you know, I have a sense of urgency. I don't know how long God's going to give me, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to give Him all the time I've got. I have a sense of urgency. I don't know when Jesus is going to come. One of these days He's going to split the heavens with His coming and He's going to end it all, and He's going to set up His kingdom. And I want that day to come, but I know that there's a sense of urgency until He comes. And I know the world isn't getting better, it's getting worse. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men grow worse and worse. Romans chapter 1 says they invent new sins all throughout human history. The world is blacker, it's more expressive of its vices than it's ever been. And we must redeem the time. The word redeem is in the middle voice in the Greek. It means buy up for yourself, and that's a beautiful thought. It isn't saying hoard your time for your benefit. It's saying buy up for yourself the time in this sense. When you redeem the time, you benefit because God blesses you. You walk on the narrow way, and you walk circumspectly, and you walk accurately, and you make the most of your time and the most of your opportunity, and God will pour out blessing to you so that it's actually true that you're redeeming the time for yourself. Use it up in the way that can give God glory. Every day, think of it on a daily basis. Every day God gives you opportunity. Every day there's an opportunity to do a righteous thing and to shun a sin. Every day there's an opportunity. There's a golden jewel that God places in front of you that can be grabbed for His glory. Some people are always going to pray and they're going to get down to business to study the Bible and they're going to serve the Lord and they're going to tell their neighbor about Christ and they're going to read the Bible. They just never get to it. The greatest fool in the world is the fool who wastes time, who spends opportunity without a return. You know, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, we are to grab it. What about your personal time? You've been telling the Lord for years that you're going to spend some time with Him. Do you do it? Or have you just let opportunity after opportunity go by and never redeemed the time? What about time with your spouse? Do you take those precious times when you can contribute to her or to him what he needs or she needs? What about the children God's given you? Not many years and they're gone. What have you contributed? What have you done? What have you given? What does the time have to say? What about that ministry, those spiritual gifts, that thing you're always going to do for the Lord, but you can never really get to doing it because everything isn't just perfect the way you wanted it or because you got other things to do? We are lulled to sleep by our fat society. Now, let me give you a little philosophical thought to think about. Opportunity is in respect to time what time is in respect to eternity. I'll say it again. Opportunity is in respect to time what time is in respect to eternity. And what I mean by that is this. The only piece of eternity you'll ever hold in your hand is the opportunity of this moment. That's it. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the future. It's now and that's the end of it. We hold an opportunity in our hands. That is the only piece of eternity we'll ever hold. That piece of opportunity is to time what time is to eternity. I can hold eternity in my hand when I maximize this moment. Shakespeare said, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at its ebb, leads on to fortune. Omitted all the voyage of their life is drowned in the shallows and miseries of life. Napoleon said, there is in the midst of every great battle a 10 to 15 minute time period that is the crucial point. Take that period and you win the battle, lose it, and you will be defeated. There are many biblical texts which stand as beacons to warn people of limited privileges in application to divine principles. You read in the Bible such a statement as, the door was shut. Too late. When Noah and his family were in the ark, God shut the door. It was too late. Opportunity was gone. When the virgins came with an unprepared lamp, the door was shut too late. The marriage would go on without them. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ ring down through history. The night comes when no man can work. I hear the Lord say to the people of His day, you shall die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. I hear the Lord say to the churches of the New Testament, I will remove the candlestick. I hear God call to Israel year after year, time after time, century after century, until that nation finally turned its back on God. And God called out to them through the prophet Moses and through those all the way down to Isaiah and beyond Isaiah. And yet they were a stiff-necked and hard people who wouldn't hear and wouldn't listen. And God's heart was broken. And Jesus finally uttered it when He said, how oft I would have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her brood, but you would not. Lost opportunity. I think of Judas, the greatest case of lost opportunity in the history of the world. Judas, who spent 3 years with the Son of God, 3 years with the Righteous One, 3 years with the God of glory, 3 years with the King of eternity, 3 years with the Judge of all the earth, 3 years with the only Savior, and walked away from it and hanged himself and was dashed to pieces on the rocks below. What a waste of opportunity. When are you going to finally study the Bible? When are you going to finally teach? When are you going to finally pray? When are you going to finally share Christ? When are you going to finally minister your gift? When I was a little guy, I played in the Glendale Little League, and my buddy on the team was named Eddie. Eddie was a pitcher, and I was a shortstop. We were good friends. We went to elementary school together, and we were both 12. Eddie was a Presbyterian, and I was a Baptist, but we were friends anyway. Eddie was a good pitcher and a good friend. And Eddie used to say to me, I'm going to be a pastor. And I'd say, I'm going to be one too. And we talked about both growing up to be pastors. Eddie told me that when he got out of high school, he was going to go to college and he was going to study so he could be a pastor. When he was in the 12th grade in high school, Eddie was driving a little Model A that he had. Had a canvas top, going about 40 miles an hour. The wheels locked, catapulted him through the roof, and he hit his head on the curb and he was dead. Eddie never knew the limited time that he had. Never knew. Never conceived. And all through the years of my life, I've looked back and I've thought, there was two young men. Both had the same desire. God took Eddie and left me. Eddie never had the opportunity, but I do. I wonder if I'm doing any more with it than he would have done. And in a sense, Eddie being dead yet speaks. I want to take everything that God's given me and use it for Him. I want to make it most of every moment, see, because it's only His grace that I'm even here. Because I got thrown out of a car too, remember? Only I lived. And God called me to preach and to teach. And I just want to make sure that I grab every time and opportunity that He gives me and redeem it for His glory in the midst of an evil day. Listen to what Paul said in the 13th chapter of Romans. Knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our deliverance nearer than when we believed. Folks, we're getting nearer to the coming of the Lord, aren't we? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in wild parties, drunkenness, immorality, shamelessness, strife, and envy. In other words, people, do you realize we only have a limited time? And we got to live according to God's life principles with our limited privilege of time. I would call a man a fool who threw away jewels. I would call a man a fool who threw away money. I'd call a man a bigger fool who threw away an hour. There's a world to be won. There's a church to be built. There's a God to be glorified. And there's no time for triteness, and there's no time for meaningless activity. Melanchthon, the great reformer, kept a daily record of every wasted moment and then took it to God in a prayer of confession at the end of the day. No wonder God used him to touch the whole world. So the believer who walks in wisdom knows his life principles, his limited privileges, and now finally and briefly, his Lord's purposes. You know, I don't want to get you so urgent that you panic, because then you're useless. You'd be like the man who jumped on his horse and rode off madly in all directions. That really doesn't make a lot of sense. There's no sense in saying, oh, man, I'm so urgent, just, you know. I could panic. I could say, I got to get it all done. And you could just go all over everywhere all the time. But that's why the beauty of verse 17 just comes like a rock to plant your feet on. Wherefore? Now, since you have to redeem the time, since you have to walk wisely, since the days are evil, don't be stupid. Now, a stupid person would just panic. A wise person will understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, it's one thing to have a sense of urgency, but you need to channel that in the channel of God's will for your life. You see. You don't just run out half-cocked doing anything. It's critical that the use of these life principles within the limited privileges be prescribed by the Lord's purposes. We don't need more activity. Lord, help us. We don't need more activity. We don't need to proliferate more stuff, more meaningless stuff, more good stuff that isn't the best stuff. Now, we need to be out there teaching the Word of God and winning people to Jesus Christ, and a lot of the other stuff we could just chuck. People in a big mad hurry don't get anything done, but people with a resolute confidence that determines to follow God's will get a lot done. Don't be unwise. That's a fool. Don't be a fool. And a fool functions apart from God's will. A fool just runs off. Find out what God's will is. You say, well, John, how do I know what God's will is? Well, I'm going to tell you that. And if you want in detail, I have a little book called Found God's Will that'll help you understand it. Some of you have read it. But let me just remind you of what God's... People say, oh, I can't find God's will. Oh, what is God's will for my... You know, like God's sort of the universal Easter bunny who stashes his will somewhere and sits in heaven saying, you're getting warmer. Or the old deal that, you know, God's will is like God speaks to you out of heaven, or you're running down the street, you fall, your nose lands on a map of Chile, and you know that's God's will. You're called to be a missionary to Chile. There's a lot of things that are said about how you know God's will. I'll tell you, it's very simple. If God has a will for your life, I believe He'll tell you. And if He tells you, I think He'll tell you in the most obvious place right here. So one time a few years ago, I just started trying to figure out God's will. And I said, why don't I look and see what He says? And this is what I found. God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Number one, He wants me to be saved. That's His will. Secondly, right here, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And what is it? Be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Number one, He wants you to be saved. Number two, He wants you to be Spirit-filled. That's His will. Number three, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. Saved, Spirit-filled, sanctified. Convenient, they all start with S. Peter says, this is the will of God that you be submissive to the powers that be. Submissive. That's that you live this kind of a life as a citizen that is an honor and a respect to Jesus Christ. That you abide by those people in government and in leadership, and that you honor the King and you give due recognition to those in authority. Live a submissive life. And then 5th Peter says, suffer. You suffer according to the will of God. That's what he says in 1st Peter. What is the will of God for you? Are you ready for this? Number one, saved, Spirit-filled, sanctified, submissive, suffering. And I'll add one more. In everything, say thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Now, if you're living a life that's saved, Spirit-filled, sanctified, submissive, suffering, and saying thanks, you say, oh, but that doesn't help me whether I ought to go here to school or go marry this person or... That isn't it. I got a great news for you. Ready for this? If you're all those things, you know what the next thing is? Whatever you want. Whatever you want. See, what do you mean, whatever I want? The Bible says it. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And by the way, if you're fulfilling those six things, you're delighting in the Lord, and He'll just give you the desire in your heart. People say, well, does that mean He'll fulfill your desire? Yes, but it means before He fulfills it, He'll put it there. People say to me, why'd you go to Grace Church? I always say the same thing. I wanted to. So, oh, so, you wanted to. You want? What about putting out a fleece and laying out a fleece and opening a door and closing a door and the Lord and all this? You know. So, no, I didn't have a fleece and I never bothered with doors. I wanted to. You say, well, where'd you get the desire? I believed in my heart that if I was saved, Spirit-filled, sanctified, submissive, suffering, and saying thanks, God was putting the desire in my heart because He was in control. And then when you know God's will, you function in God's will with a sense of time and opportunity and obedience to His life principles, you're going to find your life is going to make a difference. You know who the perfect illustration of this is? Jesus. Jesus always functioned according to divine life principles. In John 5, He says, I do only the things the Father tells me to do. He always functioned according to limited privilege. He constantly said, my time is not come, my time is not come, or my time is come. And thirdly, He always functioned according to the Lord's purposes because He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. He's the perfect illustration. Oh, what a sense of principle He had, and He walked that righteous path. And what a sense of timing He had. He knew His course, and He grabbed every opportunity, and yet you never see Him in a hurry. There was a determination, and yet there was an availability to the most sensitive and sensible situations. And then there was that sense of being on a divine stepping stone, just moving from one step to the next on God's premises. He's our pattern. If you're going to walk wise, this is how you do it. Let's pray together. Father, we would echo to You the promise of David when he vowed a vow and said, I will sing of mercy and of justice unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, Father, that's our prayer. May it be our vow this day. Father, commit to our hearts all these things, good things from You. Strike out what is human, and may what is divine be indelibly impressed upon us. And we'll give You praise for being the all-wise God who makes it possible for us to walk in wisdom. Amen.
That's John MacArthur, continuing his series on Grace to You, titled Wisdom in Action. Along with teaching daily on radio, John also serves as president of the Masters University and Seminary, located in the Los Angeles area. Now, to turn the corner, Christmas, wow, is less than 3 weeks away. And, John, as folks are battling the store crowds in search of gifts for their loved ones, I know that you have a few timely suggestions to help our listeners avoid the holiday frenzy and pick up gifts with spiritual value.
Yeah, I just wonder, Carl, if there aren't less people battling the store crowds and ordering things online. It makes sense when so much is available that way. And certainly, Grace to You has the best possible Christmas gifts available, and that would be resources that are spiritually transforming and have an eternal impact. And by the way, this is the last day that we can recommend placing orders using our standard shipping option. This is the last day that we can guarantee we'll get them to you by Christmas. So let me remind you about the MacArthur Study Bible, the 20th anniversary edition. To commemorate the 20th anniversary of the MacArthur Study Bible, we have prepared really a beautiful special edition in the New King James Version, which was the original one. It's available in hardcover. Also, I just saw them recently, magnificent, beautiful premium leather, and that while the supplies last. It has updated footnotes, a new introduction, a lot more features that will help you understand Scripture in its historical, theological context, and therefore make a greater impact on your life. MacArthur Study Bible, 20th Anniversary Edition, available only from Grace to You. You won't find it anywhere else. And by the way, you can also order the Study Bible in the New American Standard Translation, the ESV, and several non-English translations as well. And one other thing to mention, the MacArthur Daily Bible. As the new year approaches, let me suggest the MacArthur Daily Bible. It's a daily reading plan, including a portion of the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs for every day. Great resources for that daily devotional reading. Now, here's a special offer. When you order any MacArthur Study Bible or Daily Bible, we'll send you a free copy of a wonderful little book called The Jesus Answer Book. Keep in mind, today's the last day we recommend placing orders using our standard shipping option. So place your order today. Take advantage of our free shipping.
Again, today is the last day that we recommend placing Christmas orders using our free shipping option. So order the MacArthur Daily Bible or the 20th anniversary edition of the MacArthur Study Bible and get your free copy of the Jesus Answer Book with every Bible purchased. Contact us today. Order by phone at 1-800-55-GRACE and do that by 4 p.m. Pacific time today. A customer service staff can help you place your order using our free shipping option and will help ensure delivery by Christmas. The toll-free number again is 800-55-GRACE. The MacArthur Study Bible is packed with tools to help you understand and apply God's Word to your life. This includes, of course, detailed introductions to each book of the Bible, dozens of maps and charts, and nearly 25,000 study notes by John on virtually every passage of Scripture. And as John said, if you order the Study Bible or the MacArthur Daily Bible, we'll include a copy of the Jesus Answer Book, a concise introduction to the person and work of Jesus. That's free of charge. Again, to order and take advantage of the free shipping option in time for Christmas orders, call 800-55-GRACE. And you can also shop online at gty.org. The web address, one more time, gty.org. For John MacArthur and the entire staff, I'm Carl Miller, thanking you for making the broadcast a part of your day. Please tune in again tomorrow as John explains why it's often difficult to walk in wisdom. That's the next half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You.